It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm Keith Manley, and I'm your host for the program today. Today, I want to dive into the book of Revelation. Now, that might have just scared you when I said that, but the book of Revelation is actually the only book in the Bible that begins and ends with a promise. God said in the first chapter, "Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." I don't know how much of the book I will teach over the course of the next few weeks, but I definitely want to cover the vision that John has in the first chapter, and I want to cover the seven churches that receive a letter from Jesus here in the book of Revelation, and we'll see where we go from there. Let's begin today with Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The word revelation, by the way, means revealing or unveiling, to see something that was not seen before. And so this is a revelation of Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. And so it begins verse 1 by saying, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel," the word angel here means messenger, "to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw," that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, this is the same John that wrote the book of John. This is the beloved disciple of Jesus. And when Jesus reveals himself and he reveals the message of what's going to happen in the last days, he chooses John, who is on the island called Patmos. He is placed there in exile, put there to die. And John has this vision, and God shows him a vision of Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 3, again, like I said at the beginning, "Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near." My friend, I happen to believe that we are living in the last days. If it was near 2,000 years ago when John wrote this book, how much closer is it today for you and I? John begins verse 4 with his greetings. He says, "John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia." Now, numbers are very important with God. The number 3 is the number that represents God. It's the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The number 12 is very significant. There were 12 disciples, 12 apostles. And the number 7 is God's number of completion. We often call it the number of perfection, but it really speaks of completion. With 7 days, the week is complete. And there were 7 churches at the time that John wrote this in Asia, that John writes these letters and Jesus dictates letters to each of these churches. And we'll see that those 7 churches actually represent also 7 time periods that have taken place over the course of history since these letters were written. John begins by wishing 2 things. He says, "Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the 7 spirits before his throne." A more accurate translation of that word would be the sevenfold spirit before his throne. So he's speaking of the one Holy Spirit. He is symbolized like a menorah, a 7 candles that burn in front of the throne of God. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth." I love that John began by wishing us grace and peace. Grace is God's ability in you to do for you what you cannot do in yourself. God wishes you and I grace. It's the only way we can live the Christian life is through the grace of God, God's ability inside of you that enables you to do the things you couldn't do in the natural. And then he wishes us shalom, the peace. And that peace is not the absence of conflict. My friend, we will have struggles and conflict until Jesus comes to take us home or we die in this life. There will always be some conflict that we face because we live in a time of battle with the devil, who is the enemy of our souls. If you don't meet the devil with some kind of a trial, you must be going in the same direction he is. He's there to battle us, whether it's sickness or financial difficulties or relational problems. He's constantly there to harass us and to fight against us. But God wishes us peace. And what is peace? Peace is the presence of God in the midst of the storm. See, no matter what you're facing, you can still have peace knowing that God is with you. And I love the fact that he speaks about God and he refers to him. John says, he who was, who is, and who is to come. So he who is, he who was, and he who is to come. That's the eternal nature of God. One of the things I love about God is he's everlasting. He will outlast your problem. He will outlast whatever it is you're facing today because God is eternal. And John goes on, says, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. What a beautiful doxology. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. See, you and I are a part of the kingdom of God. Jesus told us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And he reminds us that we are priests. We're a kingdom, and we're also priests to serve our God and Father. Now, what does it mean that we are priests? It means we represent God to this world. We are his priest in this world to represent him. In verse 7, John says, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him." John makes it very clear that Jesus is coming back. In Acts, the first chapter, when Jesus ascended back to the Father and the disciples were there looking, the Bible teaches us that after he said this in verse 9, he was taken away before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently up into the skies as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who was taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into the heavens." Now, why do I read that? Because John says in verse 7, "Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him." Jesus went away in the clouds, back to heaven, and he's coming back again, riding a white horse in the clouds. And the Bible says every eye will see him. And then John refers to Zechariah chapter 12, where it says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced and weep for him as one weeps for an only son." He says, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. And then you have red letters for the first time in the book of Revelation. That means Jesus speaks. He says this in verse 8, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter. I'm the beginning and I'm the end, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." Now, what's the purpose of this book of Revelation? The purpose was to reveal things that would soon take place. And they indicate that they're future events, not something that's happened, but they're future events that are going to take place. Now, verse 9, John begins to unfold his vision to us and tell us what he saw. He says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, that would be Saturday or Yom Shabbat, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, now once again we have red letters, this is Yeshua, Jesus speaking, write on a scroll what you see, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Now these are actually seven cities that were in Asia Minor here, where John would send these letters by a courier, and the letters would go to be read to the churches. And yet, like I will share later, they also represent seven time periods because of the number seven here and the number of completion. And we'll see that these churches are very symbolic of the events of history over the last 2,000 years. John says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. Now, John is describing Yeshua, Jesus, that he saw, and he's dressed like the priest. He has the white garment. He has the golden sash around his chest. John goes on in verse 14 and he says, his head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. Now, don't let that picture frighten you. Don't get lost in the symbolism here. I'll explain it to you, what he's saying. But John sees Jesus, and he's white as snow. His eyes are like blazing fire. Why? Because his eyes are going to look into these seven churches and is going to share with them, number one, what they're doing right. Number two, what they're doing wrong. He's going to give them counsel and advice. And then he's going to give them promise at the end of the letter to the overcomers. And the Bible tells us in his right hand he held seven stars. Those stars were the messengers of the seven churches. He will later explain that. And out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. What is that? The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
We are excited to announce the release of Keith's new book entitled, This Is My Story. Available now on Amazon.com for only $9.95 in paperback or $14.95 for hardcover. You can also order the ebook for your Kindle. This book is filled with stories telling the defining moments in Keith's life and career. In this book, Keith takes you on a journey from his early days as a gospel singer touring in CCM music to a pivotal moment when he faced a serious health challenge, as told in a chapter entitled, God Don't Waste Pain. Through his experiences, you will be inspired and challenged to embrace the story God has uniquely planned for your life. Order today on Amazon.com. Just search Keith Manley, This Is My Story.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.